Thank you, Jake. If you have your Bible, open with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. We'll begin in the fifth verse there, which is there. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would prepare our hearts for Christmas, that you would teach us of your special gift. Father, that you would bless us once again with the realities of what you have done for us. And Lord, let us be faithful to draw close to you, and let us be faithful to draw others to you. And Lord, draw our hearts to you even in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When we talk about Christmas, there is a rush to Bethlehem and the manger. But did you know that there was more than one miracle birth related to Christmas? In chapter 1, verse 5, we have two notable people. There is Herod. Now, those familiar with the Bible will have a really tough time with Herod. Herod the Great, Herod the Builder, Herod was just a very bad man. He bargained and bought and bludgeoned his way to the throne of Israel. It might surprise you to find out that Herod is respected by many in the land of Israel today, and wherever you go, you will see his imprint. He was a polished politician. He was a genius builder. He built several palaces across the land, including one on the top of Masada, 1,300 feet up in the air over the Dead Sea in the middle of the desert, complete with a steam room and a cistern that would equip him with water in the desert for over 3 years. Herod could build. Herod could plan. It was appropriate that Herod built a place at the Dead Sea, because if you stayed around Herod very long, you might just end up dead. He built an amazing harbor at Caesarea, and there in that harbor became the central point of Romans industry coming and going, a major port. And Herod, while doing all of that, killed his father-in-law. He killed two of his wives and two of his sons. Caesar once said of Herod, "You would be better off being his pig than being his son." Well, as king of the Jews, Herod wouldn't hurt a pig, but his sons did not fare that well. Here is a horrible, selfish politician who will fade quickly in the gospel story. The other notable in this verse, while Herod ruled, was a simple, humble priest named Zechariah. Now, there were a lot of priests. In fact, you'd throw a rock anywhere, you would probably hit a priest. There were so many priests that King David separated them into different groups. 24 separate groups of priests. Zechariah was of the division of Abba. And even though he was one of thousands, Zechariah somehow stood out among the crowd. He was married to a PK, a priest kid, named Elizabeth. She was of a better order, if you will, of the family of Aaron. Here is Zechariah and Elizabeth, and let me tell you, they are one of the special couples in God's Word. God compliments them. This is what Dr. Luke says about them. They were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Wow. They were righteous before God. That means both Elizabeth and Zechariah walked with God. They believed God, they believed God's word, and they walked in their life according to what God said. They had a godly home. Do you have a godly home? Do you have a Christian home? Do you want a Christian home? You need to understand it is impossible to have a Christian home if both the husband and wife in that home are not Christians. The very best way for you to have a Christian home is for you yourself to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, and then for you to dedicate your life to following Him with all that you are and all that you have. It is important, if you have not yet married, that you marry someone who is also a Christian. You see, if you're going to have a Christian home, both the husband and the wife need to be Christians. And not only Christians, they need to be individuals that we're going to seek to live by God's word. And believer, if you are in a relationship and if you are married and your spouse is not saved or they are saved, your job is the same. You are to live every day for the Lord God. You are to seek to walk in His will. You are to seek to walk by His word. And then you are to pray that your mate will come to do the same thing. You're going to likely marry somebody you date. You should never date anyone that you will not marry or that you would not marry. That means believers should only date believers. By the way, if you want a committed spouse, you need to date committed people. Or else you will find yourself with a spouse you wish would be committed. It says that they were blameless. That actually means nobody could look at Zechariah or Elizabeth and blame them with a lifestyle that was outside of God's will. That's something. Okay. Here is a godly couple in an ungodly world living by God's will. God Himself has said in His word, this couple is according to my will and according to my pleasure. They're going to be able to live without any trouble. They're going to be able to live without any problems, right? Nope. It is a lie that believers do not have difficulties. The truth is, believers have difficulties just like non-believers have. The difference is we have a God to stand with us through those difficulties. They had a big problem. They had no children. Elizabeth was barren. She wanted children, but she could not have children. Now, I know this is a heartache for many people in today's world. It was even more so for them. Not only was it a personal heartache because they wanted a child and they had no child, it was a professional heartache for Zechariah. It was embarrassing for his position. You see, he was a priest. He was supposed to be holy before God. But in their thought pattern, if you had no children, you were being punished by God. And the only reason that God would punish you is that you had committed some great sin. And so there were people on the outside looking at Zechariah, kind of wondering what he had been up to. We know they walked with God, but their situation seemed hopeless. The Bible identifies them as well stricken in years. You know what it is to be well stricken in years? Some of you know that better than others. Now, it's not old. No, it's not old. In Hebrew thought, old began at 65. And I believe today they should revise that. John Phillips said at 70, one was deemed to be hoary-headed. That was his age, hoary-headed. And then at 80, when you reached 80, and some of you have reached that plateau, you were deemed well stricken in years. Now, if you want to know what it is to be well stricken in years, ask some of our 80-year-olds and they will tell you. Sometimes those years can strike you pretty hard. And so here was a couple, well stricken in years. By now they had pretty much given up any thought, any hope of the possibility that they might have a child. And yet Zechariah was a man of the word, and so perhaps he took faith in the scriptures. Perhaps he thought of Abraham and Sarah, and he knew that Abraham and Sarah had a miracle child when they were, according to the Bible, well stricken in years. And so while it was not in open talk, it was part of their private prayer. Now, while Zechariah had no children, he was about to reach the pinnacle of his ministry as a priest. The 24 divisions of priests would take turns administering the rituals at the temple. It was Abia's time, and out of their group of priests, out of thousands of priests, Zechariah had been chosen to enter the holy place and burn incense before the Lord. A priest would only get to do this once in their life if they were so fortunate. Now, if you were chosen, you get to choose two friends. Those two friends will assist you. One would go in before you, and that one that goes in before you would go and clean out the ashes that had been burned. And then they would back away because no one turned their back on the altar. The other friend would come in, and then they would lay the hot coals upon the altar. Then he would back away. Then came Zechariah. Zechariah now is alone before the Lord. So Zechariah puts the incense on those hot coals. The odors go up and they fill the temple. Outside, the people are waiting and they're praying. They know as that incense is filling the temple, their prayers are going up before God. They're waiting for the excitement of the priest coming out, because when the priest comes out, if the priest is alive to come out, that means that God has heard their prayers. While they waited, something unusual is taking place in the holy place. There's an answered prayer in verse 13. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you will call his name John." Zechariah had been faithful in a day when most people just went through the rituals of talking about God. He had sought to follow God's word. He had sought to follow God's will, to stay true to the Lord. And he had prayed for the desire of his heart. And he had left that prayer with God. And now God sends him a message and a messenger. His prayers are going to be answered. He's going to get to tell his wife that her prayers are going to be answered. Zechariah is being very careful to carry out his once-in-a-lifetime duty, and there standing on his right is an angel of the Lord. The Bible says he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Now, before you think that this man is a wimp, let me remind you. Zechariah had never seen an angel before. Zechariah did not know anyone that had ever seen an angel. In fact, at this time, God had been silent and not spoken for 400 years, which makes Zechariah's faithfulness even more amazing. And on top of that, Zechariah had never been in the holy place before. He had never burned incense before the Lord before. He had never been the chosen one for that purpose before. Talk about stress. His immediate thought, seeing an angel there, was, "Whoa, did I do something wrong?" What an honor. God had not spoken to any man or woman for 400 years, and now he chooses to speak to Zechariah, an old man, well stricken in years. The angel says, "Do not fear." You know what? That's easy for the angel to say. The angel would probably have to give me some smelling salts and then tell me not to fear. Then came the news. God has been listening to your prayers. Let me tell you something, believer. You know the Lord. You're seeking to walk according to His will. You have sins confessed in your life. When you pray, God hears your prayers. God is listening for you, and God wants to hear you. You need to take your prayers to the Lord, and you need to be praying all the time. You got family, more reason to pray. You got children, a lot more reason to pray. You got grandchildren, whole lot more reason to pray. And with the greats and the great-greats and all of those things comes more and more reasons to pray. You live in America, you got a lot of reasons to pray. You trust in people in Washington to do stuff? You got to pray. When you pray, understand it is not idle talk out into the midst of the sea of the wilderness. It is a petition laid on the throne of Almighty God. And He hears. Now, we've already been told Zechariah and Elizabeth met the requirements of prayer. They believed God, they walked with God. You need to believe in the Lord, you need to walk with the Lord. If you are lost and you want to pray, my friend, the only prayer that God is going to hear from you as a lost person is the prayer when you get on your knees and you invite Jesus Christ to save your soul. That is where you need to start. You want to be able to pray for your family, you want to be able to pray for our country, you want to be able to pray for your needs, you first need to know Jesus. You need to have Him as your Savior and Lord. If you're a believer and you want to pray, you need to do house cleaning. You need to see, is there anything in me that is not just before God? Is there anything in my actions? Is there anything in my thoughts? Is there anything in how I'm living that's away from God's desires? And you need to, one, turn from it, and then you need to turn to Him, ask Him to forgive. And He says, if we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we are cleansed from all unrighteousness, we're on praying ground. And so here Zechariah has prayed, and God answers that prayer. And it's beyond Zechariah's expectation. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth will have a son named John. This answer brought great joy. The angel goes further. Many shall rejoice at his birth. Everybody believes their child is special. Zechariah had an angel's word for it. His child was going to be special. The child will be great in God's sight. The scripture says that this child would be great in God's sight, would not drink strong drink in his entire life. You know, every child would have a better chance of greatness if they could stay away from alcohol and intoxicants. We're in a day when a lot of churches are throwing out any prohibition against strong drink. Let me tell you, it is not good for you. It is not good for your family. It will not bring you closer to God. It will only break down and tear apart. And the best way you want your children to stay away from intoxicants, you stay away from them. You want your children to stay away from beer, don't keep it in your refrigerator. And my friend, we are living in a day when those things you drink are not the only intoxicants around. We are living in a day when marijuana is being pushed far and wide. And it is just as much a deterrent to your spiritual life as anything else of its kind. And so take a stand. This child would take a stand. His parents would take a stand. This child would be different. He would be filled with God's Spirit from his birth. Here's a pattern. He's going to keep alcohol out, and he's going to keep God's Spirit in. How about that? You see, the scripture says, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." The Old Testament ended with a promise. Before the Messiah would come, Elijah would come in Malachi 4. This is why many people are going to rejoice at the birth of this child. This child would be the forerunner. This child would be the one to come in the spirit of Elijah. John would bring a message to change lives. He would turn the fathers to their children. If our world is to change, if it is to get better, we need dads to be better. We need dads who will come to Jesus, live for Jesus, and who will teach their children to do the same. We need dads who know that they have messed up, who are willing to come before God and fess up, and who are willing to walk with God and who are willing to lead their children in the right path. We need dads that won't say it'd be nice if you stopped by church, but dads who take their children and families to church. John would turn the disobedient to wisdom. He would turn people back to God. How we need that today. John would prepare people to meet the Messiah. That's what the church is supposed to do. That's our job at Northside Baptist Church. We are to get fathers to love Jesus and to lead children to follow Jesus and follow those dads. We're to turn lives back to God. We're to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. That's our job. What a great answer to prayer. Here's an anxious priest in verse 16. And Zechariah said to the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." Now, I don't know if you read that like I read that, but that's just kind of funny. Zechariah has just received an amazing message. Zechariah, the only guy in his generation, the only guy for 400 years to get a message from God, he's in the holy place where nobody can get in, and out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord appears to him. And the angel of the Lord gives a message to him. And he says, "How can I know this is true?" He points out his objections. Listen. I know we've been praying for a child, and I know you're here telling us we're going to have a child. How can I know this is true? You see, I'm kind of old. Get this. He says, I'm kind of old, and my wife is well stricken in years. It's a good thing his wife was not in skillet distance. He would have been well stricken in skillet. I love the angel's response. Verse 19. I am Gabriel that stands in God's presence. I am sent to speak to you and to show you glad tidings. You know, God gives us everything we need to believe. That's one of the amazing things of our trip to Israel. One of the things our eyes were open to again and again and again, how God connects the dots and gives you everything you need to believe. It is difficult to see the truth and not believe. Zechariah would not be able to speak until John was born. That would be his punishment for failure to believe. Because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled. He would be speechless. Well, you know, if an angel appeared to me, I might be speechless too. The people were getting worried. Zechariah had been in there a long time. They didn't know, is this priest dead? You know, they would tie a rope to them when they went before the Lord, because if there was any unconfessed sin in their life, they would die in the presence of the Lord, and they would have to pull them out. So had that happened to Zechariah? Did they need to check the rope and see if he's still alive? And then Zechariah backs out. And when they see him, they immediately know. They know by his radiance, they know by how he gestures, he has been with God. My friend, if you'll get close to God, other people will see the resemblance. They'll see God in your life. They'll see the testimony come forth. Here's an amazing present in verse 24 and following. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself for 5 months, saying, thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. God gave Zechariah and Elizabeth the amazing presence of a miracle child. Elizabeth waited. Today, many women wait to make sure everything is okay. They don't tell people immediately, but they reveal the pregnancy when they are pretty much assured that all is well. So she waits. She waits maybe a little longer than most, 5 months. She waits till it's going to be apparent that she is with child. And then she stands before the world that had condemned her, and shows the work that God had done in her life. No longer would people point at her as barren. She is now going to be known as the mother of a miracle. That birth would remove her reproach. That birth would give courage to her cousin Mary, who had to believe that she could have a miracle birth. Why did God wait so long in their life to give Elizabeth and Zechariah this child? So that Mary might be able to know in God all things are possible. And she could have the Messiah. The real present was far greater than John. John would be the forerunner. John would tell the world the Messiah is coming. It's time to repent. It is time to come to the Lord and to follow him. But John would point the way to the Lamb of God. He would be the one to say, the Messiah's coming. The Messiah's coming. And Jesus would be the one to go to the cross to remove our reproach, to die there for your sin and mine, that we might be forgiven. That truth is for everyone that'll believe. Have you believed? Have you invited Jesus to be your Savior? If not, that's why you're here. That's what you need to do today. If you believe, shouldn't you be willing to share the message? We have a story to tell. God brought a miracle child to tell of another miracle child. One who would take our sins away. If you don't know him, you need to come to Jesus today. You just need to say, I want Jesus. If you do know him, oh, we need to start telling people. Because Christmas is coming. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word and challenge to our hearts. Father, if anyone is in this room that doesn't know you, let them come to you. Let them have the courage to step out, to walk forward, to say, I want Jesus. Let today be a miracle day in their life. Father, for those that are here that know you, Lord, that we would give this season to you completely. Father, that we would move toward this Christmas completely dedicated to you, having our sins confessed, walking with you, telling others of you, drawing others to you. Father, let this day be a day of dedication for an entire season that will build into a changed life. And we thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as we sing.